We want to now bring on the other three Republican candidates who are political newcomers in this race. Let's begin with George Lucia. Griffin Jones. Charles Barman.
And again, this will be the only time that we applaud during this 30-minute session. Again, let's give all five candidates a round of applause.
And once again, candidates will have 60 seconds to respond to a question and 30 seconds to respond to a follow-up. If a candidate runs over, you will hear this familiar sound.
Okay, so for the past 2 weeks, we have been asking people at home, our viewers and our listeners, for questions. We'll begin at
WUWM, Milwaukee.
Will be for all of our candidates. It comes from Darlene from Maquonago. She asks, what experience do you bring to the table that's worthy to be elected as our Wisconsin United States Senator? Mr. Barman, you can begin.
In 2006, I ran in Indiana as an independent to run for U.S. Congress. I got 10,000 signatures. I took, and due to the flooding that's happening in Northwest Indiana and also Wisconsin where I farm, I'm trying to stop the city of Chicago from dumping $1.5 billion gallons of water in the Illinois River per day. That backs us up all the way to the Union Grove, Wisconsin, which is the Plains River, and it backs us up in the Waukesha area. I also, at the same time, because they were going to have flooding, they wanted to run a train from Chicago all the way out to Indiana, all the way to Lowell. I got the signatures. I got the state legislator to where we could vote on it. I stopped the $1 billion earmark without being elected.
Thank you, Mr. Barman. Mr. Jones.
Sure. A lot of times when people ask these questions, they want to focus on a couple of bullet points. But what I'd like to focus on is the totality of experiences. Educated here in Wisconsin in business and international business, I've held some very big insurance portfolios. In my current job, there's a large amount of cash under my management. In addition to that, I've got a lot of times experience going around this state and interacting with a wide berth of people. You know, half my family are city people, half of them are rural people. And that's a really important thing in a race here where you're trying to represent a state that's as large and diverse as Wisconsin. And obviously we know the rural and city divides. In addition to that, I guess that's it.
All right.
Mr. Lucia?
Yes. I'm 75 years old and spent 56 of those years in the private sector. And after I retired from the private sector, I decided that maybe I should find something to do and decided to become a United States Senator. During those 56 years, I was a blue-collar worker. I'm a machinist by trade. I'm a shift supervisor by the highest level of promotion. I owned a small business during the Carter administration and went into a bankruptcy situation. I've been married more than once, like our president. I'm currently single. I'm not soliciting ladies. But in any event, I feel that the lifelong experience gained under administrations from Eisenhower through the current Donald Trump administration. I've been a Donald Trump supporter since he came down the elevator, or the escalator, I think it was called, and announced his candidacy.
Thank you, Mr. Lucia. Mr. Nicholson?
Folks, you all know I'm a political outsider. That's just simply reality. You know, from my time in service fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan to my time in business working on the real problems that affect private industry, I've had to solve problems my entire professional adult life. That's reality. Yeah, look, I was raised in a family of Democrats and I had to walk the walk I did. It ran through the mountains of Wyoming where I worked as a cowboy, on through the opium fields of Afghanistan, the deserts of Iraq, on through businesses all across this country before I could completely put the picture together and could understand exactly what it takes to be successful in life. That's what you want in a United States Senator. Someone that's lived that broad life, gone out there, lived outside the lines and understands what solutions really take. And I'll never make any mistake, or excuse me, make any excuses for the path that I've walked. It was the right path for me to become the conservative that I am today. It's formed in the real world, not just the political world. And that's what you want in Washington.
And Ms. Buchmeier.
You know, I learned the process of being an activist and being a grassroots volunteer by being a mom with a cause. And that led me to where I had the incredible opportunity to join with Governor Walker and my team in Madison to truly make our state great again. We turned our state around. It's truly amazing to me. And that experience has given me the fortitude to go to Washington and drain the swamp. Take on those special interest groups. Those special interest groups that are supporting my primary opponent, Kevin Nicholson, and trying to bring me down, trying to spend millions against me because they don't want me to go to Washington because they know I'm going to stand up to them and I am not going to stand for the status quo. I've not done it here in Wisconsin and I'm not going to do it in Washington.
We're going to continue with the viewer questions. This time we're going to go from Ms. Vukmir down the line. We have this one from Suzanne in Milwaukee. The deadline for parents to be reunited with their children separated at the southwest border is today. An estimated 2,500 migrant children were separated. Reports say less than half have been reunited. That's the latest number. Knowing your story with your father and your family from Greece, do you hold your fellow Republicans accountable for their, quote, mishandling of processing immigrants?
No one wants to see children separated from their parents. I'm a mom. I'm a nurse. That's the last thing any of us want. This is a very complex and complicated process. Sometimes these children are coming here and they aren't even with parents. And it really is a shame. I'm heartened by the fact that people are trying to do all that they can right now to take care of this problem, which is tragic. But I want to know where Tammy Baldwin was when this very same problem was happening during the Obama administration. She looked the other way. She was recently asked about it, and she really had nothing to say about it. Look, this is a tragic situation. We've got to make sure that we reunite children, but we also have to realize this calls all the more for why we need to fix our immigration system. We need to build that wall because people are taking advantage of it, and it can't go on.
All right, sounds like you want to try to hold Tammy Baldwin, Senator Baldwin, accountable, but are you holding Republicans accountable for this situation currently now?
They are working on it. I know that it is not easy,
and
I have spoken with people. I know that they are working on this process. It is very complex. As I said before, there are many moving parts to this, and it's not easy. So I want to give them the opportunity to do the best that they can, but we shouldn't be separating children from their parents.
This question goes to Mr. Nicholson. Curly from Germantown wants to know, what would you do to get the National Reciprocity Concealed Carry Bill that recently passed the U.S. House passed in the Senate?
Vote for it. I mean, pretty simple. I want to talk about this question here for a moment. It's a very simple one. There's no need to mince words. I came out right away on this. Ted Cruz put a really good plan together, which said double the amount of asylum judges, cut the wait time down to 14 days, don't separate families at the border, problem solved. Now, not the illegal immigration problem solved, but we can do this very quickly. And I didn't mince words. I didn't double talk. I didn't talk around the problem. I just said that's what I would do. I did that before the president even came out and said basically the same thing. That's leadership. Look, folks, I am a Marine. Like, I was trained to actually point at a problem and make a decision and solve it. I don't know what else to say. Vote for that, yes. But move forward and say, like, how do you fix problems on immigration? Stop illegal immigration. Don't separate families. Don't encourage people to come here. Double asylum judges. Move up processing times and get people back home quicker. Easy answer.
I'm sorry, just to be clear, you said stop people from coming here?
Stop people from coming here illegally and being encouraged to come here illegally. And I one of the problems I have with Democrats like Tammy Baldwin is they're sending every possible signal to people to come here illegally and to put their kids at risk. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that that's intelligent. I think we're a nation of laws. That's the reason why we should encourage immigration done legally. The people of Wisconsin love immigrants. They do not like illegal immigration. Too many people mix those two things up. Let's stop poisoning the well on immigration. Let's do it right. Let's do it legal. Let's do it sensible.
Will that be one of your priorities if you are elected as a U.S. Senator to deal with the immigration issue as a top priority?
Oh, trust me, and the people of Wisconsin want that. Everybody wants illegal immigration stopped so we can move forward with a merit-based, intelligent program that's good and doesn't put people in a disadvantaged system dependent on politicians. The people have been screaming that for so many years. It's the professional political class that has refused to do it. It's going to take outsiders to get it done.
All right, moving to Mr. Lucia. This is a question from Rick in Goodson. And he says, quote, I am looking for a middle of the road Republican. Are you more middle of the road than your opponents? And I would add, if not, how would you appeal to people who consider themselves middle of the road Republicans?
Well, I consider myself a center right candidate. I haven't been approved by Steve Bannon, for example, on one case of the station. I don't have any endorsements from anybody, and I haven't received any big contributions from any of the organizations like Right to Life or any of the others. I'm a rugged individualist, and that is what conservatism is to me, where you rely on yourself, where you go out and take care of your own business. Get the government out of my hair, so to speak. I want small government. I want it to be responsible and reactive. Now, when it comes to the reciprocity, I'm for it. I'd vote for it. When it comes to the children back with their parents, they've been separated for over months. Now it's going to be a realistic section to take months to get them back together.
Let me follow up. You describe yourself as a rugged individualist. You also spoke earlier about your admiration for President Trump. Are there aspects of the Trump presidency that you have been either in disagreement or uncomfortable with?
I'm uncomfortable with his rhetoric. I think that he goes overboard sometimes in making statements like tweets and things of that nature. However, I always know where President Trump stands because of his tweets, you know. And then I understand that he has the right to change his mind. For example, this European trade thing that's come up with the zero trades in both directions. I think that's going to be a big benefit for even Harley Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Lucia.
Mr. Jones, you are next. And the question comes from Butch in Thiensville. He's talking about the tax cut that Congress passed. He believes, and the numbers sort of show it, that he thinks that it has increased the deficit and certain people, wealthy people, have benefited as a result of that. Would you support walking it back? If you're in the U.S. Senate, there's talk about more tax cuts. Would you cut it back, keep it, or expand it?
Sure. So obviously, I supported the tax cuts for the lower class, doubling the standard deduction. The middle class, my family personally benefited about $314 a month. So there's a lot of good in that range. What I personally thought is that when they gave the corporate tax cut, there was going to be enough of a windfall for the upper class that they probably didn't have to cut that. And as he just mentioned, Steve Bannon, he actually was trying to get in the president's ear to increase for those people. Now, they already paid too much in taxes, but if you're going to do that with the corporate taxes, I think that you have to understand that the people that are benefiting from that are also those people in the higher classes. So, yeah, I'd be open to taking a look at it. I also think that, President Trump, one of the things he campaigned on was closing the carried interest tax loophole, and they kind of avoided that.
Thank you, sir.
Keeping on that economic vein, Mr. Barman, this question is for you, and this comes from Jacob, who is a student at UW Oshkosh. He's asking, a lot of conservatives pride themselves on fiscal responsibility, but don't actually take action. Our country is $20 trillion in debt, and as a college student, this is concerning for my generation. How will you get us to a balanced budget, and what programs are you willing to cut to make that happen? Again, that's from Jacob at UW Oshkosh.
Just a really quick thing here. Everybody keeps talking about the senators. They have to start talking about immigration. If you look at and see what the job description is for each house, whether it's the president, the Supreme Court, the House of Representatives, or the Senate, it is clearly spelled out in the Constitution that the Congress of the United States is in charge of all naturalization and immigration. So we really shouldn't even be talking about any kind of immigration reform or anything like that. As far as balancing a budget, we need to stop doing a lot of wars right now. Wars are not good. We have a lot of people in Afghanistan. We have to thank this gentleman for his service over here. But at the same time, we have to find out how do we get in debt. So we get in debt by spending $3 trillion in the war in Iraq, which was really bad. And the person that dragged us into the war in Iraq was Mr. Bolden, the guy that's giving him money and supporting him, and the guy John James up in Michigan. Got no business taking money from Mr. Bolden, and he's got no money. He's got no business giving money to Ann and his percentage.
Thank you, Mr. Barman. I appreciate
it. You will actually get the next round of questions here.
Thank
so
you.
We'll start with Mr. Barman, and it comes from Barb, who was very helpful for us during the governor's debate as well. So we have another question from Barb from Elk Grove. She wants to know, with Wisconsin facing a workforce shortage and people unable to access jobs due to a lack of transportation, will you support increasing federal funds for public transit?
If you study public transportation, ever since it started, all the way up until now, it's a loser. So it doesn't make any difference if it's Amtrak. It doesn't make any difference if it's, any type of train that's always run, trolley car or anything, it's always a loser. So I would not support anything. And the thing is, as far as like people coming here and wanting to work, the biggest problem we have right now is that none of the people here have a decent education. And I've seen this by working construction. I've been in construction now for 20 years, built some of the biggest high rises in downtown Chicago. They have a system of government in which they teach people in high school how to read a tape measure. Up here in Wisconsin, nobody knows how to read a tape measure. I can't figure it out.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Jones, Ree from Oak Creek would like to know how you propose to make changes to Social Security and Medicare legislation, and what would those plan? What would your plan look like?
Sure. So first of all, the trust fund for Social Security runs out 2034. Medicare looks like 2029 or 2026, depending on who you're talking to. I think that the first thing I want to highlight there is a lot of transparency. What we've seen out of Washington a lot is these backdoor negotiations, and things get handed to leadership, and then they vote on them. And the American people don't have much of an opportunity to tell people to get opinions from their constituents. So to answer the question about what I would want to see there, what I really don't want to do is raise the retirement age. I think that people should have a better chance to enjoy their lives. But we're obviously going to have to do something to close some of the funding gaps. So one of the things I want to focus on is economic growth, because the greater economic growth, the bigger the tax base and the more taxes that can be contributed to those things. In addition, Yeah, I'm blanking, sorry.
Let me just ask you on Social Security, why would you not raise the age? At any point would you raise the age if you're looking at trying to save Social Security? The next senator elected will probably have to deal with this issue. Maybe not those who are currently coming up to that benefit, but those who might be in their 20s. Would you change the age there?
Sure. So ideally, human beings are living longer, but I still wouldn't want to do that. I don't think that that's something that we want to do. I think if we want to look at something in the other things that we can change, as far as taxes, less benefits, changing what we peg inflation to, some of these kind of things, I think that there's a better solution there. And what I want to do is get in a room with people, and I want to run millions of simulations, and then take them to the American people and ask them what they like to see.
Mr. Lucia, this question is for you. It's from Tim. He's in Waukesha. He would like to know, do you support the legalization and taxation of cannabis on a federal level? Why or why not?
Well, I think at a federal level, we should probably reduce the rating of cannabis from a class one to a class two drug. That would make it open for the states, such as Wisconsin, to make their own legislation as to what they want to do as far as medical marijuana and things of that nature. That would be what my position would be on the marijuana issue, is just to decrease the
criminal
category of the drug from class one to class two.
So the question, though, is would you legalize cannabis? If so, why or why not on the federal level after you
I don't use it, so I don't really have a lot of a position on it. I think it, from my personal look at it, I would not legalize it as a recreational drug at this time. I think we have enough recreational drugs in the market already that, like alcohol, for example, which is legal, and then you have cigarettes with nicotine and you have all kinds of stuff. On the issue of the Social Security, if I may, I would increase the age as part of an overall program.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Lucia.
Mr. Nicholson, this next question is for you. Todd from Milwaukee would like to know, and I quote, will you put country first and evidence first with party affiliation a distant second if an impeachment trial should occur?
Well, Todd, I'll always put my country first. And at the end of the day, I don't know what impeachment trial we're talking about because there is none, and you should always put evidence first. So, I mean, as a just general rule, let's deal with facts. Let's deal with reality. I think we need a whole lot more of that in Washington, D.C. Look, folks, the reason that I'm winning in your poll by 10 points today amongst Republican voters, the reason that we've got 10,000 small donors in all 72 counties of this state, the reason that we've raised over double anybody else in this primary is because the people of Wisconsin understand it's going to take people from outside the political class to go there and deliver reality to Washington. Whether it's Ted Cruz or Mike Lee, two guys that have endorsed me that never held office in the United States Senate before running for the Senate, Ron Johnson, a great senator from our state, never held office before running for the United States Senate, or Donald Trump, who last I checked did not have a state legislative voting record, those are the people that are actually going to Washington, making differences and delivering results. And that's why we're going to win this election, and that's why we're going to deliver results once we get there.
So when you say, and you've used it often, political class, how do you define that?
Well, I mean, Washington, D.C.
People but that Paul Ryan's in Washington, D.C.
People that
part
make
of the
their money
class?
Off of Washington, D.C. and are clearly on a trajectory to go lobby someday thereafter. And ultimately, that's their entire professional existence. Yeah, that is the political class. I mean, I don't know what else you would call it. There's a military class. There's people that serve 20 years in the United States military and then retire. But the reality is this. I mean, this is the whole reason I'm for term limits. This is why I've limited myself to two terms. Mentally, you should not become part of a professional political establishment. I'm going to keep talking because you asked me a new question. The reality is this. You should not ever make your money from politics. You right. should deal with the problems that are there and then return home and move on with life.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Spookmeyer. Then this next question is about if you become a U.S. senator, you will join a small group of female senators. As a woman, how will you work in Congress to protect women from gender-based pay discrimination? This comes from Loretta in Milwaukee.
Well, look, I believe in equal pay for women, and the evidence is there that we have to support that. It's there. It's hard for me to answer this question because I get very frustrated when I get asked the question, what is it like as a woman in the legislature or a woman to be a U.S. senator? As a legislator, I represent everyone. And I actually get very frustrated when people ask me that question. Do you ask my male counterparts, what's it like to be a male legislator? Look, women have such great power in this country. We're doing great things. We're wonderful multitaskers. We are doing everything we can to protect our families, to protect our country. And I'm going to go to Washington and do what I've done here. I have a proven, consistent track record of standing for families, standing for our state, standing for our country, and standing for life, and standing for our Constitution. If I go to Washington and I do that, that's what's important. That's what the people want me to do. That's what I've done here, and that's what I will do in Washington.
All right. Each candidate will now get 1 minute for closing statements. 1 minute, and we will go in alphabetical order. So, Mr. Barman, you go first.
All you have to do is YouTube, turn it on YouTube, look up Paul Ryan's speech, Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and you will see that October the 8th, 2016, Paul Ryan and both Scott Walker threw Donald Trump and Michael Pence out of Pumpkin Fest in Elkhorn. When people on this end over here tell you they're going to support Donald Trump, she's backed by Paul Ryan. She's backed by Scott Walker. They did not endorse Donald Trump. So don't be wasting your vote on Donald Trump for somebody down on this end with Leah Vukmer, because you can clearly see it on YouTube. So if you get a chance, look at my website, cbarman.com. I have a couple of fireside chats that I do, and I'm the only one that's up here on stage that's in the Library of Congress and has stopped a $1 billion earmark. Very conservative. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
My name is Griffin Jones, and I'm the man that's going to bring America back together again. In a time of extreme political polarization, this country needs leaders that will stand up and try to unite us. despite overwhelming support all over this state and all across the political spectrum, the media has written this as a two-horse race, and I can assure you that it is not. The response to my campaign has been overwhelmingly positive, and there are a lot of people that are very excited about the type of senator that I'm going to be. The only way to drain the swamp is to get rid of people that have political and monetary connections to it. I have none. I have absolutely no connections to the swamp, the billionaires, the super PACs, or the political elite. I will never be one of them. My fellow Wisconsinites, I am one of you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lucia, you now have 1 minute for a closing statement.
Well, from being a private citizen for 56 of my 75 years, an Air Force veteran, and realizing that the loggerheads that's going on in Washington is one of the reasons that I decided to run for the U.S. Senate. I represent the state of Wisconsin and therefore the people of the state of Wisconsin. My job as a Wisconsin senator is to do no harm to the state of Wisconsin from the federal government and to do good for what legislation is proposed for the state of Wisconsin. That is my job as a Wisconsin senator.
Thank you. Mr. Nicholson?
Folks, I'm doing this for the same reason I joined the Marine Corps in the middle of two wars. For my wife, for my kids, for all of our kids, and for all of you. This nation truly is exceptional. It is different than anything else that has existed before it because it ultimately recognizes the rights that you have given to you by God. That's worth fighting for. Certainly worth fighting for in wars, but it's worth fighting for in Washington because there's not enough people there that understand how exceptional this is and what it's going to take to save it. Yeah, the president does need reinforcements. There's no doubt about it. His agenda has been a good one for this country. It's been good for the people of Wisconsin. But you would have to suspend disbelief to think that you're going to send people from the political class that are going to provide the kind of reinforcements needed by somebody who is clearly outside the political class. If we had a president from the political class today, does anyone really believe we would have seen the results we've seen with tax reform, with Iran, with North Korea? Do we think we would have seen the deregulatory efforts, the growth that we have today? Republicans are very proud of what the president has accomplished, but it's going to take another outsider to back him up to get it done.
Ms. Vukmir.
You know, shortly after Donald J. Trump was elected the 45th president of the United States, I began this journey that brought me here before you as a candidate for the U.S. Senate. I've traveled 77,000 miles in my car, and I've been to all 72 counties. The excitement that we experienced on that election night continues today with the prospect of electing a strong, proven, consistent conservative to stand with President Donald Trump to truly make America great again. What we have done here in Wisconsin is truly remarkable. We need someone to take this Wisconsin way to Washington, where the problems are enormous. The stakes are high. It's not enough to send any Republican to the U.S. Senate. We have to elect and send the right Republican. We can't take a chance on the unknown. I've seen it. I've done it. I'll do it again in Washington. I'm asking for your vote on August 14th. God bless and keep the faith.
Well, you've all been efficient in your responses, which has left us 1 minute left to fill before we go to the end of the show. So I'm going to ask you one quick question, and each of you need to answer it quickly. And it is, what is the book that has influenced your life the most? Ms. Vukmir, we will begin with you.
Well, that's pretty simple, the Bible. I read it every day. It's very important to me.
Mr. Nicholson?
The Bible.
Okay. Mr. Lucia?
Actually, I have two, the Bible and the Constitution of the United States.
Normally, I'd answer the Bible, but since they did, I'm going to say Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life.
Mine's the Jungle by Upson Sinclair. When they first put in the Chicago River and reversed the flow of the river and started flooding northwest Indiana and also Wisconsin back in 1900. Right. That's why we got the 1,500,000,000 gallons being dumped in right now, and that's why we can't drain any of the pasture land in Waukesha.
And you got the longest answer on that, so we will then conclude it at that moment. I don't know.
I'd like to ask this to the three new candidates that came onto the stage. We've already asked the unity pledge from both Senator Vukmir and Mr. Nicholson. Would you decide to back whoever wins the primary on August 14th?
Yes or no?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes. Could I just quickly?
Yep. Nope.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for the Republican U.S. Senate primary debate. And thank you. Yes, you may applaud to Milwaukee for hosting us tonight. That is it. Good night.